forward.
Oh.
Back. Okay. Okay, so I would like to talk about talk about two things today. First is just to summarize what people in the maybe I can just yell, or I can just hold it. Okay, is to summarize what people in people using BAM in Jena and Vienna and Parma have been up to in the last year or so, and also to but the main thing I want to talk about is this question of the requirements, the length requirements of numerical relativity waveforms. So first, the news, things that we've been up to. So one of the main things that we've been doing is producing an extensive set of simulations of non-precessing binaries, and there are a total of 24 simulations that we produced that were provided for Ajith for this phenomenological construction that he talked about earlier this morning. But in particular, we took 12 cases of this that we looked at in much more detail. These were unequal mass non-spinning simulations of mass ratios between equal mass and 1 to 4, and equal mass simulations with equal non-precessing spins in this range. And in doing this, the first thing that you need to do is to get low eccentricity parameters. And so a few years ago, we found that if we integrate the post-Newtonian equations of motion for many thousands of orbits prior to when we start a numerical simulation, we can get very, very low eccentricity, or at least sufficiently low eccentricity. So this picture here is for the equal mass non-spinning case, and you see there's an eccentricity of about 0.2%. When we went to spins, we incorporated first just the leading order spin effects in the post-Newtonian equations of motion, and we found that in this particular case here, if you look at, which is anti-aligned spins of spins of 0.5, suddenly this does much worse, and the eccentricity is on level of 3%. And this is so bad that it's actually worse than if you just use the quasi-circular formula, which doesn't take into account any in-spiral, which does it twice as well. So then we incorporated the next leading order spin effects, and suddenly there was a huge improvement. We got down to 0.4%. And then we wondered, maybe we can do a little better. And so obviously we could wait for the post-Newtonian people to produce, get higher order spin effects. But while they suffer, we can actually get more information just from the PN that we already have, which is that what we do is we say, how much do we have to adjust our parameters so that the post-Newtonian in-spiral gives us 0.4%? And we find that we have to change the momentum by about a tenth of a percent. So we do that in our, then apply this change in momentum to our numerical simulation, and we find that this further reduces the eccentricity by 25% down to 0.3%, which is not quite as good as we got in the non-spinning case, but is certainly acceptable. And we found that this method is robust against all the cases that we looked at. Meanwhile, the people in Jena, in particular Doreen Müller and Jason Grigsby, have been looking at trying to do higher mass ratio simulations. And what they've done is they've taken one of the more curious parameters in the moving puncture construction, which is this eta parameter. And instead of just making this having this a constant like it normally is, they've made it a much more sophisticated function of position and a dynamical function. And now they find, and you can see in the convergence plots here, that they get much higher accuracy in the simulations. And what this is essentially doing is it's causing the coordinate size of the smaller black hole in an equal mass simulation to be much larger and therefore better resolved on the grid. Okay, so that's what we've been doing. Now I want to talk about what I think is a very important question for doing gravitational wave astronomy with black hole waveforms, which is how long do numerical waveforms need to be? And first I should motivate this question a bit more. What do I mean by that? I mean that, well, if we just think of the question of detection of binaries, and if we think down to the sort of masses that the low mass range of a search on the order of 10 solar masses, an equal mass binary of 10 solar masses is going to have about 1,000 cycles in the advanced LIGO detector band. Only about 10% of these can be simulated numerically with current technology, and the other 90% have to be provided by post-Newtonian theory. And you see here the little bit at the end is the numerical part, and the rest is PN. And so when we do use post-Newtonian waveforms, we know that the post-Newtonian results are an expansion, essentially, in the frequency of the wave. And so at low frequencies, the PN is much better, and at high frequencies, it becomes less accurate. And so clearly, when you produce a hybrid waveform of post-Newtonian plus numerical results, you know that the more numerical cycles you have, the more accurate your hybrid is going to be. And this is what the question is. The question is, how many numerical cycles do I actually need so that the final waveform is sufficiently accurate? And in doing this, it's clear from the number of numerical cycles, number of cycles that you need in your complete waveform, and from the way the post-Newtonian errors operate, that the post-Newtonian errors dominate the error of the total, the waveform. In this kind of comparison, the numerical errors are completely negligible. And a number of people worry about the errors introduced in the hybrid construction. These, in this sense, are also effectively negligible. The bulk contribution of the error is from the post-Newtonian waveforms. The post-Newtonian errors are our biggest problem. And so what we want to do ultimately, right, is to cover the entire black hole binary parameter space. And we would like to do this as few times as possible. And in doing this, you could say, well, how many? So then we want to know, we ask, how long do our waveforms have to be? This is a question of the computational cost of our simulations. If I go and I produce for you 200 waveforms, and I say, well, I'm going to produce 20 cycles before merger in all of these waveforms, you know, 2 years later when I come back with all the results, I don't want to be told, actually, could you give us 30 cycles? And you might say, well, why don't you just make 30 cycles in the beginning? Well, if I make 30 cycles in the beginning, these waveforms, not only are they twice as long, but they will probably require 5 to 10 times the computational cost to produce. And, of course, at the end of that, I might discover I actually needed 40 cycles. Or more likely, I will find that actually 10 cycles would have been enough all along, and so I shouldn't have produced such incredibly long and expensive waveforms. And so in the end, it comes down to a question of do you want 10 waveforms over the black hole binary parameter space, or do you want 1,000 of them? Do you want them 6 months from now, or do you want them 6 years from now? So this is really a serious question. So the first thing we can do to estimate the errors in post-Newtonian waveforms is to actually compare in the regime where we also have numerical results. And this is something that a number of people have done in the past, and we're extending this now to more cases. So if we look at, and here we look at a set of 10 cycles, gravitational wave cycles, where there is an overlap between numerical and post-Newtonian results, and we look at the accumulated phase disagreement. And it's already been known for some time from a study by the Celtic-Cornell collaboration that a particular approximant, the Taylor T4 approximant, does unexpectedly well in this case, and you see that in this plot in the equal mass case. For unequal masses, we find that it also does pretty well, not as well, but reasonably well, and certainly much better than this other standard approximant, Taylor T1. If we now move to spinning cases where we have aligned and anti-aligned spins, we see suddenly T4 does much worse. And for high spins, it does especially poorly, particularly if the spins are anti-aligned. We can modify T4 by changing the way we treat the truncation of the spin terms. And this is work that was done by Frank Omer, who came up with another way of doing the T4 approximant. And here it does a little better, but it's still not very good for large spins. And in fact, the T1 approximant now looks much more robust in general. It has a comparable performance for all values of the spin. And that's why in the phenomenological construction that we did with Ajith, we used the T1 approximant. Okay, well, that's all very well. But we want to know about the accuracy of hybrid waveforms. Not, you could say, okay, I looked at these 10 cycles where I have numerical and PN results. What does this tell me about the accuracy of a hybrid waveform? It doesn't tell me anything. Ideally, I would produce my hybrid waveform by matching the PN to the beginning of my numerical simulation. And so in principle, I may use none of the PN cycles that I just compared in that previous slide. So the only way to really do this, and it's unfortunate this is all we can do, but that's how it is. PN is just a pain, is we can just take a number of different approximants and compare hybrids with them and try to get some sort of an estimate or some feel for how accurate they are. And since we're worrying about detection, we say, well, we want a mismatch between the waveforms of less than 3%. This sort of general rule of thumb says if you have a mismatch of less than 3%, then you will lose only 10% of signals. Some of this mismatch when you build a template bank has to be taken up by your template bank spacing, so you would like to do a bit better than 3%. But this is basically the cutoff. If the mismatch is worse than 3%, then things are no good. Okay? And so this is what we want. It's mismatches below 3% and ideally lower than that. Okay, so the way that we do this study, I would say, okay, in the equal mass non-spinning case, T4 looks really good. So let's just pretend that it's, let's just pretend that it's perfect. And let's take T4 and connect it with with the numerical results and produce a T4 hybrid and just treat this as our perfect true physical waveform. In fact, we imagine that it is just an extremely long numerical simulation. Okay, so this is our and we call it, oops, NRL, a long numerical waveform. And now we produce hybrids with T1, connecting T1 to NRL, and compare those two. And then we vary the number of numerical cycles in this hybrid to see where how it works. So now, so first, in the equal mass non-spinning case, we first use only 5.5 numerical cycles. So this is not very much. This is like 2 or 3 orbits before merger only. And we see that we're almost within the 3%. So it does pretty well. Only at very low masses do we go above this 3% mismatch. If we now include 8 numerical cycles, we're safe. We're well within. And then we can add more and more cycles and get down to very, very low mismatches. But it's clear that 8 cycles, or about 4 orbits, are enough in this case, which is really not very many. And so if you had produced 10 orbits or 20 orbits or something, it would be really overkill. Now, of course, this is the equal mass non-spinning case. We already have lots of waveforms for this, so it's no use to tell anyone how long a simulation to do, because actually they shouldn't do any simulations for this case. So now let's move to other cases. For the 1-4 case, situation gets a little worse. So now again, we just do our T1, T4 comparison again. And we now see that we need more cycles. We need about 9.5 orbits to be sufficient. This is a bit unfortunate because, of course, unequal mass simulations are more expensive. And so we would really rather do shorter ones, but that's how it is. And of course, this is, once again, purely an effect of the accuracy of the agreement between different post-Newtonian approximants. It's got nothing to do with numerical accuracy. It's just to do with how accurately we know Pn. So Pn is less accurate at higher mass ratios, so we need more numerical cycles. Now we want to do spin. Well, for spin, we don't have any good approximants. So let's just make one up. Let's take T4, add, we know T4 to the 2.5 Pn in the spinning terms. Let's add some 3 and 3.5 Pn terms and optimize the coefficients such that we get good agreement with the numerical data. So now we do our phase comparison again with our optimized approximant, and we get wonderful phase agreement during these 10 orbits before merger. And so now we compare, to use this approximant to compare with T1. We see in the hang-up cases, or the anti-hang-up cases of negative aligned spins, it does pretty well. We need now 5 orbits to be within our goal. But in the hang-up case with aligned spins, that the PN is much worse, and we need up to 12 orbits to be within our requirements. Sorry? Yeah? And equal spins, yes. Equal aligned and equal unaligned, yeah. We just did simple things. So right, for this case, the PN is performing much worse, and you appear to need many more cycles. But this whole comparison procedure is also more fishy in the spinning case, because we have our tweaked approximant. But for a sort of an estimate of what you need, this is what we get. So to conclude, our hybrid construction is dominated by post-Newtonian errors. Mass ratio is close to 1 for low spins. It seems that we can get away with 5 orbits. For moderate mass ratios and higher spins, we need 10 orbits. What about larger mass ratios? What about really large spins? What about precession? We have no idea. And another question is this really too conservative an analysis? Should we really be comparing with EOB, in which case everything would look much better? Or is it too optimistic? Should we be comparing 3.5 PN with 2.5 PN? And I've done that, and if you do that, it turns out you need 40 cycles before merger. So hopefully that's not the way it is. But this was an attempt, the idea was to make a first attempt to address these questions and to really finally try and get some idea of what we require in order to map the black hole binary parameter space accurately enough for detection.